B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and you know it's been a very strange and very tough time for a lot of people ever since this whole thing started back in right around March and the pandemic. And I know we talked about restaurants and stuff trying to have a hard time, and I know that when I look around, I obviously am very fortunate to be able to have a job, because there's a lot of people who have lost their jobs recently. And it's obviously something I don't take for granted. And when you look around, unfortunately, in every industry, ours is not immune to that as well, where there are some people who are losing their jobs or being laid off. And one guy who unfortunately yesterday found out that he was no longer going to be on NBC Sports Boston is our good friend Gary Tanguay. And I love Gary Tanguay. I mean, Gary Tanguay, he's obviously
controversy.
He's a legend in this town, and he's obviously a great friend of the show. You know, for years he worked, right after us on the Tanguay and Zolak show, and we had some fun with him there. And of course, there was
dump it.
But I mean, this guy's been here forever, and we love Gary Tanguay. And I wanted to just this morning, tell him that, first of all, not tell him. The guy's talented. People love the dude. He's going to find something amazing soon. But I wanted to relive one of our favorite Gary Tanguay moments, and that is when we had him do a bit for us, one of my favorites, called 50 Shades of Guay. So in honor of Gary Tanguay, here is one of my favorite Gary Tanguay moments on the Toucher and Rich Show.
Hi. This is Gary Tanguay.
Tanguay.
Let me take you on a tale of unbridled hot fiction.
Yeah.
It's 50 Shades.
50 Shades
of Guay.
Of Guay.
Goodness gracious.
Now, you look puzzled, Wallach. I'm not familiar with this.
It's 50 Shades of Guay is a play on 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
It is erotic fiction that is written at a two-year-old level.
that women everywhere
it's
are reading.
It's mom porn. It's called mom porn, and I'm not making that up. USA Today has called it mom porn, and it's the most aggravating thing. And if you open up one of these books and read just an excerpt from it, it's like horribly written. The woman that wrote it is a midlife fatso and has written these books. Apparently she wrote them out. She was having some kind of midlife crisis, and this is the idea that most married women are in, let's face it, not erotic relationships. So if you have children and you're in your late 30s, early 40s, and this is, I guess, a way to spark women with fantastic imagery of erotica.
This might be the number one selling book right now. It is.
They're
a
making
phenomenon.
Movies.
50 Shades of Grey.
My wife reads, but my wife got through these books in 2 weeks. She read the three of them, and her friends have all read the books. I'm surprised that you guys.
My wife has not found these yet. No.
That's amazing.
Well, life's going to get a little wild if they do.
Because I'm amazed that Rich's wife hasn't picked these up. You, believe me,
she
you don't
knows
want
about
this.
Them, yeah.
Okay. You don't want this.
Oh, really? Annoying. Not it's annoying. Okay.
Yes.
If I did any of this crap to my wife that my wife tells me about from these books, she'd be miserable. But women think that they want these things. All right. Let's meet our contestant. Mike, hello.
How you doing, guys?
All right. Good. Here we go. We're upbeat. We're having fun. Now, Gary Tanguay is going to read you a passage. Is it his own erotic fiction, or is it indeed a passage from one of the 50 Shades, or the Shades of Grey trilogies,
right.
I should say?
Is it from 50 Shades of Grey, or is it 50 Shades of Guay? Are you ready?
Guay.
Here we go.
He grabs me suddenly and yanks me up against him, one hand on my back, holding me to him, and the other fisting in my hair. "You're one challenging woman," he screams.
Is that 50 Shades of Grey?
He's pulling the hair on her head, yes. We should articulate.
I need a clarification.
He's pulling the hair on her head. They're fully clothed at this moment in the book.
Okay.
They're in an elevator. Rich and I went through these passages with a fine-tooth comb. Don't misconstrue that. They were in an elevator fully clothed.
You can understand the mistake, though.
This is a makeout session in an elevator, an impromptu makeout session.
Is that 50 Shades of Grey or 50 Shades of Grey?
I kind of gave it away, but there you go.
I don't know, I'll probably screw it up, but I'm going to go with 50 Shades of Gray.
Oh.
I dump it, dump it, dump it, dump, dump, dump.
No, that is, of course, 50 Shades of Gray.
I basically just told, I told you it was an excerpt from the book, but we'll try to get a little better as the contest goes.
50 Shades of Gray.
That was 50 Shades of Gray. All right, here we go. We will continue the conversation. Is this Gary Tanguay or the fat middle-aged woman that wrote these books?
I said, listen here, bucko. If you want to ride the G-Train to Hoo-Haville, population Gare Bear, then you're going to have to slow your roll, you jabroni.
All right. Is that 50 Shades of Grey or 50 Shades of Gway?
I'm going to go with the Gway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
correct.
That doesn't make a lot of sense, but here we go. You are one for two. All right. We continue. Is this from the erotic women fiction, 50 Shades of Grey, or is it just Tanguay getting loose with his own erotic fiction?
He kisses me, forcing my lips apart with his tongue, taking no prisoners. It's taking all of my self-control not to f*** you on the hood of this car, just to show you that you're mine. And if I want to buy you a f***ing car, I'll buy you a f***ing car, he growls.
I hope it's not Tanguay.
No, that is not Gary Tanguay.
Yeah.
I think if a good way to play this game is if it's from a woman's perspective, it's from the book. If it's Gary Tanguay, then it's probably his own erotic fiction. All right, we continue. Is this from the 50 Shades of Grey, or is this Gary Tanguay's own erotic fiction?
Hey, fatso, you'll do. I'm kind of desperate, and you look like you'd do anything for a Klondike bar. Yummy.
Again, not rocket science.
I'm going to go with Tanguay on that one, too.
Yeah, of course. Again, female perspective from the book.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, fatso. Yummy.
You're what they call a buzzer beater.
Hey, fatso.
Buzzer beater.
You are a buzzer beater. It's 2 o'clock, and it ain't getting any lighter.
Yummy.
All right, let's continue.
Yes, she screams. I gasp. And all the muscles deep in my belly clench. My inner goddess is doing the dance of the seven veils.
That's the kind of writing you get in these horrible books.
Which one is that?
I'm going to go with the 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. And what's funny is women know that it's terribly written, too, and they just don't care.
It's
all right.
50 Shades of... Gway.
All right. Gary, very passionate about delivering this bit. Good for him. All right, we continue. Is this from the books or is this his own thing? Gary Tanguay, go ahead.
Enough of the shenanigans with the woman area. The only pierce I'm interested in wears number 34, Toots.
Got to think about that one. Not so much for the answer, but for what he's talking about. He's not for any of that craziness. He likes a traditional lady. All right, he likes Paul Pierce. Go ahead.
That would be Gway.
That's right. No piercings for the Gway. All right. I almost like the stuff in the book is cornier than what he wrote himself. All right, here we go.
Excuse me one moment, Mrs. Steele. One of us broke wind, and it's not me. Stinkerotic.
Is there a part of 50 Shades of Grey where...
What's wrong with him?
Where Miss Steele breaks wind?
That would be Mr. Tanguay.
Yes, indeed. That's from his own erotic fiction. It's very realistic.
Stinkerotic.
No.
Yummy.
I think we're...
The keywords goddess, keywords, there's many, many butterflies. These are the words that the women like. Let's
if you
want
to ride the G-Train to Hoo-Haville.
All right, the next one?
Yeah, why not? Is this 50 Shades of Grey or 50 Shades of Gway?
I want you sore, baby, he murmurs. And he continues his sweet, leisurely torment. Every time you move tomorrow, I want you to be reminded that I've been here. Only me. You are mine.
Yeah, that's what you're going to get after 15 years of marriage. All right. What is that? Is that Gway or Gray?
That would be Gway.
Yeah.
That's correct.
No.
He said Gway.
Oh, he said Gway.
He said Gway.
Dump it, dump, dump, dump.
No, it's not.
It's not. That's Gray.
I want you sore, baby.
All right. Let's continue.
Fatso.
Is this Gway or Gray?
Hey, let's reenact the scene from Rambo where he covers himself in mud and starts hunting down soldiers, except in a sexy way and without decapitations. Maybe.
All right, is that
getting into a weird area?
Yeah, I know. Is that Gway really or Gray?
That would be Mr. Gway.
Yeah. Not a lot of Rambo in the women's erotic fiction. All right.
Stink erotic.
All right, let's continue. It says Gray or Gway?
My inner goddess jumps up and down with cheerleading pom-poms shouting yes at me.
If you say Tanguay, where I'm hanging up the phone.
That would be the Gray.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Goddess is a giveaway. Women love that. All right.
Stink erotic.
All right. Is this Gray?
Here's the final one.
The final one. Is this Gray or Gway?
Hey, Mamacita. Wear this Donnie Marshall mask and a bow tie and let's party.
Now, is the woman from England that wrote the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy a big CSNNE fan, or is that Gary Tanguay?
That would be Gary Tanguay.
Yay! Oh, that is correct, sir.
Yes, indeed.
This is Gary Tanguay. Tanguay. Let me take you on a tale of unbridled hot fiction.
Yeah.
It's 50 Shades.
50 Shades of Gway.
Of Gway.
Goodness gracious.
All right. Congratulations. You won some golf balls from the Callaway Company.
So it's a stink erotica. Damn, I was surprised that wasn't in 50 Shades of Grey.
No, no. Goddesses, butterflies, all of that is in 50 Shades of Grey.
Wear this Donnie Marshall mask and a bow tie and let's party.
Yes. All right.
Stink erotica.
That's true.
He kisses me, forcing my lips apart with his tongue, taking no prisoners. It's taking all of my self-control not to you on the hood of this car just to show you that you're mine. And if I want to buy you a car, I'll buy you a car, he growls.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yesterday was a good day. We worked on a lot of offensive principles, shooting the puck, getting to the net. Today we lacked a little energy, you know, so, you know, we addressed that this is part of the mental challenge for every team, you know, sort of tournament, for lack of a better term, is creating some of your own energy. So we as coaches have to look at that as well.
.985 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and that is Bruce Cassidy once again calling out his own team. That's the second time in, well, I guess since Sunday's game, that he has talked about the lack of intensity that this team has brought, and that was just at a practice. So
not happy. Not happy.
Nope. But you know what? Thank goodness, because what usually happens when Cassidy calls out his own guys, they usually end up having a hell of a bounce back game, and they need it right now because you really haven't seen much of anything from the Bruins that makes you feel confident about them going into the actual postseason once the playoffs start. Now, I'm not freaking out over this. I'm not, and I think that it's going to take some teams a little bit of ramping up. I understand that, and the round robin thing, I can see why it might be a little tough to get inspired. I wish it didn't, but I'm not really worried about it. But man, they got to do something. They just show me something. You've had a couple games now where you've just seen a team that doesn't seem to be invested in what's happening. And right now, like they're screwing themselves because in this round robin, we had a worst case scenario the other day, and that is that you had a tie that ended in a shootout. So right now, you're the only team of the four with 0 points. So because of that, you are so behind the eight ball that you have to pray that so many different things out of your control happens. This team beats that team does this and this, but in the meanwhile, you have to continue to just play your ass off. Now the good news is that today Steven Stamkos is not going to be playing. We know that. The other good thing is that we heard yesterday that Tuukka Rask was indeed going to be back in net. I don't think there was ever a doubt once he came back and said that, you know, he had to sit out just because he pressed the button on his app that said that he had a cough, but he tested negative. So, I mean, that's good news. But you gotta, like, today they've really got to do something.
See, here's the thing with the Bruins, and I've been saying all along, don't worry. Whenever Cassidy gets pissed, they come out and they play well the next day. Apparently, practice a couple of days was good. Yesterday's, we just heard it was not. That worries me because you've already been not screamed at, but you've already been put on notice once, and you still didn't have energy yesterday. To me, that sets off some warning bells. I mean, look, I'm not worried about overall. I still think this team has a lot of veterans on it, and they're biding their time until the games really start to count. But for today specifically, I was looking for a very good effort from the Bruins. But after hearing that they were lackluster in practice after already being called out once, that bothers me. That bothers me a lot and makes me a lot more worried about this afternoon.
Well, I was wondering about the whole second line situation with Kasha and everything, and Cassidy actually spoke on that as well.
Richie goes in, he's going to play with Krejci and probably Kuhlman on the right. We're going to play Bjork, Coyle, and DeBrusk. Now, we may move those wingers around in game, but that's how we're going to start it. That's how they practice today. Kasha's back skating with the group, but we're not going to play him tomorrow. He needs some more reps, so we'll target him for Sunday.
Weird, man. They're really jacking with those lines. I mean, he's trying to find some sort of inspiration somewhere. And
inspiration or desperation?
I think it's more inspiration, only because he has all of these forwards. Look, the first line, you're not going to break that up. The fourth line, you're not going to break that up. That was your most productive line in game number one. And actually, they played pretty well against Columbus at times in their exhibition game. So those are two lines you're not going to mess with. But the problems this team has had in the past continue to be the problems they have in the present. David Krejci can't find the right line combination. Jake DeBrusk was completely uninspiring in the first game of this round robin. I have no problem with them dropping him down, but they could repair him with Krejci anyway. I mean, if you talk to these players, they'll tell you we're used to skating with all different types of guys anyway. But the Bruins are looking for something, anything to click, whether it be Kasha or Richie or anybody at this point, to try and get some secondary scoring and help out the top line.
And the Lightning have secondary scoring. I think this game's going to come down to the defense. It's going to come down to the Bruins' defense playing better. Mm-hmm. I'm not pointing anybody out, but the Lightning's defense has been very good. Victor Hedman's been very good. These have been tight games all year long. They've won 3 out of 4 against the Bruins this year, Tampa Bay. And they've all been tight games. Two of the best goalies going at it in the game today.
Keep in mind, if the Bruins lose 2-1, but Vasilevsky makes 43 saves, I'm good with it.
Yep. But the thing is, there's better secondary scoring on the Lightning than there is the Bruins. And, you know, the Patrick Maroons of the world, those guys, they can score on those third, fourth lines. Where the Bruins have been getting production from those guys, they need production from their top line. To me, though, I think they need to be better defensively, and they'll find the scoring somewhere.
I'm just excited that tomorrow morning, as much as I love, Judd Surratt and Beers, that I'm just glad they're playing a team that has Dave Mishkin doing the play-by-play. Because
defensive zone face-off, so he'll take it. Vinny wins it. Purcell score from the right circle! Teddy Purcell has done it again! Shot to a screen, save made, rebound, score!
I mean, him and Matt Viskersian from Monday Night or Sunday Night Baseball. Those two guys need to go together and drop some E or something and go to a rave. I mean, the energy level on those gentlemen. And what's weird too is that Mishkin does that during regular season games.
Well, he's got to get someone to listen to him. I think I'm convinced that this is one of those things where he might have been excitable to begin with, but he leans on it a little bit so people will listen to him.
Or do you think he's just trying to wake up Esposito sitting next to him half the time?
Maybe get Esposito to listen to him and not leave for another shivis in the next booth.
that's one of my favorite things is where you just hear Esposito just go, no. And that'll be like all this entire contribution to the break. Nah. But to be honest, between his Michigan spazzing out and Esposito's just non-interest in usually what's happening or just grumpy old madness, that's one of my favorite broadcast duos outside of this market. I gotta be high. Like, I always look forward to the next morning whenever the Bruins play the Lightning. It's like, all right, here we go. Speaking of broadcasting duos, did you guys see on TV the other day they had Gosher doing the Knights game?
National broadcast. Yep.
Good for Gosher. Always good to see him out there with Shane Knighty, the sheriff. And apparently he's quite the stud out there. I guess when he goes out to eat in Vegas, the man never pays for a meal.
That's awesome.
It's like Joe Murray in Kowloon, except the entire city of Las Vegas is his Kowloon.
I'm sure he's so uncomfortable about that, too. That's the best part of all
Gosher?
Of it. Oh, God.
Oh, I sure do appreciate the free meal. No, I think he turns it on when he gets there. That would be one reservation for Dave Gosher, voice of the Golden Knights. Gosher's the best. I heard that on TV, and it was like, it kind of brings back brings back all the memories and stuff. Surratt does a good job. Gosher was just, he was great as well. So, I heard that on TV, and it was like, dude, I miss the man. I miss Mr. Gosher. Wish you could do another Gosher Goes to the Movies for us. That was one of my favorites.
Hey, if the Vegas keeps going, you're telling me we can't hook up a hard line and have him do it?
Maybe I'll bring Gosher to a car hop with me.
Sure. Bruins and Vegas play each other in the Stanley Cup Finals, yeah.
That could be the case. I do know that like when he was, or was it last year? Yeah, it was last year when the playoffs were going on. I mean, I was just praying for a Bruins-Vegas Stanley Cup Final. Like, that would have been the greatest. And I was saying if that was going to happen, I would have traveled obviously to Vegas to go to one of those games. And like, once again, he's the king out there. And he's always like, hey, if you ever need to, go to a game, I might know a guy. I'm that guy, by the way, just to know if you got that reference. So Gosher, yeah, he's Mr. Connected over there, which is fantastic. So, all right. Well, I'm nervous. I'm nervous about today. I should be probably a little bit nervous. I just want to see something from this team. I don't even care if they win. I just want them to play their ass off. Yeah. The Lightning's a good team. I just want to see some sort of life. And you know what? I want what Cassie said. I want a shoot first mentality because there's too much dancing around. We've seen this for a while. And the Bruins, unfortunately, have been subject to fall into that for a while. They go on streaks where they just get too fancy. Shoot the damn puck. It's happened over and over again. And I think right now, obviously, with just a little bit of practice, it might just be a tendency of theirs. Let's hope that Cassidy calling them out ends up doing something and inspires them. I would like to, because it always, almost always happens when Cassidy calls them out. What happens, John? Afterwards,
they play well, yep. And it's nearly 100% efficiency. But I go back to what he said: to have a lackluster practice the day before the game, after your coach has already called you out once, that's something we're not used to, and I'm worried. I'm a little worried about today. I was much more confident yesterday than I am sitting here right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. That's 4:00. So what? Zolak and Bertrand, and I was like, Bertrand, Frelger, and Maz get a little bit of a half day today.
Hell yeah,
yeah.
That doesn't suck.
They get the 4:00, 3:30 pregame.
Yep.
All right. Well, that doesn't suck. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll get to Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, a
song that brings Wallach back to the times where he'd wear a puffy shirt and hit on the ladies. Back in the old New Jack era, my man John Wallach just slaying it.
Did you have your ear pierced, John?
No.
Oh, that's a good question. I never thought about that.
I've had the ponytail. I've had the mustache. I've had the goatee. I never did that, though.
I had an earring, and I used to have the MC Hammer lines in my head.
Look at that.
I love that. Now, did you ever have the groomed thin line goatee? You know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the pencil almost drawing goatee.
You had that, right? You had to have had that.
No, I had the bushy one. I had that.
I had the chin strap. I had a Fu Manchu lined up.
You see,
like that
when you're as big as this man, you can do pretty much whatever you want, and no one's going to mess with you. When you're 5'100", you wear that stuff. And
yeah,
people,
but your goatee was sharp, though. I thought. I mean. I think it's pretty good there. His mustache
was evil. You know what's great? Joe, you may not know this, but a couple years ago, Wallach tried to bring back the goatee.
Mm-hmm.
Like he showed up and it was evil Wallach. Like he came in and he looked like, you know, like the Joker's wild guy. You know,
like, here's Johnny.
He came in there and he had the goatee and all of us like instantly, it was like the second he walked, it was like, whoa, all right there, too fast, too furious. He came walking in there and just immediately everyone stopped. And we might have talked about your goatee for 4 hours straight that morning. I don't care if it was the day after the Super Bowl or whatever. Like, it was goatee time because I couldn't look at you. And I believe it only lasted one day. And I didn't mean to be the guy who would pressure you into shaving the goatee, but you admit that was a bad and ill-advised move trying to bring it back.
No, I didn't know what I was doing. I'd forgotten how to trim the damn thing, and I just grew it out. You know, I think I came back from vacation. I was just lazy. It happens. You're lazy, and you, above all people, know about not shaving, Rich. So it was one of those deals where I didn't shave, and I, you know, the next day, whatever beard I had looked scraggly, and I was late for work, so I just shaved part of it, and what was left was what you saw. And there were like things caught in it. It was an ugly, ugly thing.
Good. So, like, speaking of that, so, you know, there's two different phases for me. It's either I've clean shaven or I look like a hobo. And it just, what happens is I shave and 2 months later I shave again and I just let it grow out. And my beard has no rhyme or reason the way it grows. Like, different lengths, different colors. There's just, it's disgusting.
And I can't make, like, when I grow the goatee, it always happens. There's like a piece that doesn't connect. And then whenever I do try and shave it, I'll shave off another piece. So now I have two pieces, one on each side of my face where the lines down the sides of my mouth don't connect. And it looks awful. And the other part of it is, you know, some of us grow hair at a certain rate. You grow hair. You're a wolf man. I mean, you get a beard in like 5 seconds.
Well, that part's true. And that part of my face, yes, I grow hair just fine.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but yes, that's true.
I'm starting to look like one of the Guess Who characters. You know the game?
Yes, I know all about that kind of thing.
So, like, but there's this weird spot on my face under my left eye that, like, a giant patch of hair always forms. So I look like I'm deformed almost. It's like it goes all the way up, only on one side of my face. So I was telling my wife I was going to shave. This was just the other day. And she goes, and the kid's like, no, we like your beard. I'm like, you don't like the beard. It's like, yeah, you like the beard. And I'm like, all right, well, I hate living with it. So my wife, like, bought for me, she got this, like, beard trimmer, which I've never used.
That's what I got. When I had the beard, the picture you saw, remember, I sent you a picture of the beard and Wallach with a stash. I got a beard trimmer for the first time in my life after that failed experiment the last time.
Oh, yeah. Worst mistake ever. I bet 98% of the people don't even know what I use this beard trimmer, because I got it, and when I was done, I looked like one of those dudes waiting in line at the club, like, for Bijou. And like a Saturday night at 2 a.m. Like, I mean, it was like total D-bag face. And like, I mean, it was like Night at the Roxbury almost. And I was like, all right, this isn't good. But the worst thing about it is that my hair is so gross and thick that it is the second time in 3 months that I've clogged the drain so bad that it wouldn't end up. And this is, by the way, after shaving in the shower, it's so bad when I come out, I have to do the fine shaving. It's so thick that I constantly clog the drain. And it's just gross. And I hate beards and I hate having it, but I'm just too lazy to shave my face every single morning. But oh, for a moment there, John, I could have hung out with you in the pirate shirt.
Oh,
I was looking the part. I was looking the part, man.
Now, that brings up another point. When was the last time you got your hair cut?
I've been cutting it myself, and it looks awful. I tried at first to do the, where you shave around the back and the sides, and then you cut it with the scissors, and then I'm just looking like a mo cut. Like, it was just like, it was just like giant dark separation between where I shaved and where I didn't. So now I just like take the thing and I shave the entire head.
When will you go back and get your hair cut by a professional?
When I get back, when everything's back to normal, I'll do that. The good thing is I'm not impressing anyone, sitting here by myself. So I'll just shave it. I don't even care how I look. So I just, I'll do that. And so that doesn't matter to me. And it's not that I don't want to go and do that and get the haircut. It's just that I'm not impressing anybody right now. It doesn't really matter.
Well, what does Mary think about all of this?
Oh, she just has never been more attracted to me. Like, it's like a tiger. It's like a tiger on meat.
First of all, you guys have been together since the dawn of time. What I'm saying is,
I'm the human aphrodisiac.
At any point, why don't you let me cut the hair? Maybe I should get the scissors away from you.
I think she enjoys me clowning around. It makes me look even more tempting. It's like, oh, look, he's doing it on his own. Look, he's a man who can do anything. It's like, everyone loves a guy who can build a bookshelf. She likes a guy who can hack the F out of his hair.
Okay.
and like completely just miss pumped like huge patches and look feral. I don't know. Maybe it kind of fits in with the morphing that I've done becoming a fisherman hobo. It all kind of just, is how it happens.
All right, let's go back to that for a second. I'm convinced now, because we had this discussion in the first hour of the program. I'm convinced, and I thought about this after you said it earlier in the program. The second you are allowed back into society, you are going to forget this whole fishing thing. You're taken by it now, and I understand your life is very limited, and for good reason. You're out on Nantucket for a reason. I get it, and I do not begrudge you that at all. What I'm saying is your options are limited right now for freedom and fun, and the second you are back in Boston, whenever that is, you are going to forget about this particular portion of your life and move on like it didn't happen. I'm convinced of it.
John, that's because you, my friend, have lived a sheltered life and never lived the fisherman's lifestyle.
Look, fishing is for one reason, and you brought this up when we talked about Minneapolis. Fishing is not to fish. Fishing is to drink. Yep. And forget about the fact that you are in the middle of a huge body of water, not catching anything. And when you do catch something, more often than not, you throw it back.
Someone needs to live the dinghy life for a week, all right? And then you just don't turn back after that.
And by the way, how hard do your arms burn when you bust your ass rowing out into the middle of the bay just to get to a spot?
It's called getting your pump on, all right? Well, like maybe that's something you might not know about.
Well, I think that's
not
the
since your pirate shirt days.
That's well documented. But,
no, it's like it's
fishing
all I think about.
Exists to drink. The most important thing you bring out on the water with you is not the rod and reel. It's the cooler.
That's the
most important thing.
The amount of people you're insulting right now, the fishermen, it's a lifestyle for us fishermen. Like, I'm talking to them right now. They all hear me. They understand that once you get out there and you get that taste of the sweet, salty air and you get that little bob, life is all about the little bite and the pull. And then once you get that sumbitch in there, oh, I'm telling you, it makes life worth living.
Last time I went deep sea fishing one day and then
vomited.
A weed brownie situation happened.
Yeah, it's the other stuff. Now, look, if you're telling me I can go out on the water and I'm on a boat that's big enough with a chair off the back of it, and I'm doing that and see if I can pull one in, that's great once in a lifetime. But more often than not, if you go fishing, and I don't do it a lot, but the people I talk to that do tell me it's more about the alcohol you bring than the bait and tackle.
I never thought I would be the guy who just wants to fish. As I said, it's like
such
a cliche.
You want to fish now. You won't want to fish next year at this time.
It's all I want to do. I'm not kidding you. It's like become that thing.
You're not being serious.
There's people who obsess about golf. There's people who obsess about video games. Like right now, dude, I don't even catch anything, and I effing love it. It's like I just sit out there, and I try. And the other day, as I said, it was like something from a movie. I got one that was like, it bit off my deadly dick. It took bucket. Okay. It had like the hole. It's that little thing that they told me to buy that would catch the big fish.
I'm going to play this back to you. Dick. Tracy, save all of this because we're going to play it back for you once you're back in society. Joe, am I wrong about this?
I think he'll forget about it.
In a second, you're going to forget about this. Oh, no fishing. Way. Wonderful. Awesome.
What are
great.
You going to like take no. drive your car to like, you know, like what are you going to fish at like the seaport? Like you
can. Well, if only in Boston I live near somewhere I could fish.
You could walk down the street.
It's not like we live in, you know, Arizona.
You are not going to.
I was going to say, you're going to get a truck now? Truck now?
That rod and reel is going to be in storage collecting dust faster than you can Wingersheek.
I'm putting that some bitch right in the front of my Jeep that's got the little poles that you catch in it, so you have to look past the poles as you drive.
Okay.
You bet your ass I am. All
right. Maybe you can meet Wallach at Lake Constituent, Natick.
Yeah.
Bring your dinghy.
Now that's where you fish, right there.
Now, I am jealous. I do want to go on like a boat, like, you know, one of these charters of these guys who really know what they're doing.
That's what I'm saying. That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's hard. Just make sure the fish doesn't yank your ass out of the chair.
I'm sure you can do it in Nantucket, but yeah, like, they have these things every day. They rake. The amount of money those guys make,
see, now,
they're freeloading, not me.
We got someone on who knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not joking around. He goes, you bring beer on my dad's boat, he'll use you for bait. Fishing is for fishing, not drinking. Absolutely.
Yes. That's the minority of people. There are a section of people that take this seriously. Mm-hmm. But you are not one of them. Or you won't be one of them.
We're the fishing majority, John, and you choose to ignore us. And we are a powerful force.
For what? You're a force for what? Fishing?
For pleasure.
Hey, for pleasure. You catch a fish, Rich, right? Do you unhook it? Like, what are you going to do with the fish?
Asking me about catching a fish? I haven't caught one.
I want to say, what are you going to do when you catch one?
You're going to throw it back. You're going to freak out for 2 seconds and then toss the damn thing back in the water.
The damn thing?
I'm going to scream like a 12-year-old girl. I'm going to take 15 photos, and I'm also going to take my gloves that I bought to remove it in the hook. Dude, I've watched a million videos on what to do when I finally get the fish by myself, and I haven't done it. But it doesn't matter. When that moment happens, maybe I will find complete and total consciousness.
And then you're going to be like, why the hell did I waste all of this energy to pull this thing up?
You've never lived the fishing lifestyle. I'm sorry, my friends. You just did. You look the other way. You and your city life. You of Framingham driving around with your fast food restaurants.
Natick.
You know,
Natick.
Off the land.
Get it right.
Whatever. It's all the same.
I'll see you at the Chick-fil-A in 6 months. You'll see.
Like Chick-fil-A. I'm not going to knock that. All right. 617-779-0985. We have something for John and Mr. Joe Murray coming up right after this.
Thatcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dragic. Left-hand dribble coming strong on Tice. Kick to the corner. Duncan Robinson for 3. Got it.
That doesn't even look like it hit the net. Man.
And the Heat take a big step towards a big bubble win to keep that 3 seed alive.
985 The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. There's really no way to spin it. That was a disappointing loss. Heat's a good team, but man, they're on a back-to-back. They didn't have their best player in Jimmy Butler, and the defense is nowhere to be found. And I heard Chris Forsberg say this yesterday, and John even kind of reiterated it, is that, you know, for a team in the Celtics that was playing very well defensively, I think there was something like 6th or 7th in the league before the whole thing with the bubble started. They're the second worst of the teams that are indeed there playing basketball right now, which is fairly inexcusable, especially last night when you knew the playbook of Miami, and there was almost zero stopping what they were doing at the perimeter. It was just, I don't know if it was a bad plan or that the team just wasn't ready to play. And I know that there were some weird decisions like leaving Marcus Smart in, even though Brad Stevens has been one to not alter his rotation because someone gets in foul trouble. It was just off. And the worst part of it is that you just got pantsed by Kelly Olynyk on television, which is just never a good thing.
Defensively, you got pantsed. That's the most embarrassing thing out of all of it, is that Kelly Olynyk, when Gordon Hayward drove to the basket, Kelly Olynyk ran up alongside him and fell down and got an offensive foul. I mean, just Olynyk's not a good defensive player.
No,
he's not. And so, made you look awful.
Well, we have Mike Gorman on at 8:20, returning to the show, and we'll talk to him about that. And no commercials, just Joe Murray's headlines. And when we get back, the return of I Rule.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.